Mr. Oxley, reel 8.
Now, this particularly interests me. Yeah. Could you give me as many details as you can possibly remember about the form that that court-martial took?
Yes.
The trial?
Yes. The trial took place in a devastated house at the village of La Clete, at the foot of Camel Hill. I remember some high-ranking officers being there, including our own colonel of the battalion, also my company officer. We had a defending officer defending the chap who was charged. one particular instance that remains with me, I was asked to kiss the Bible. Being innocent of ever being in similar circumstances, I actually kissed the Bible and it sounded like a pistol shot in that small room. Mm-hmm. However, the man was found guilty.
Yes, but before he was found guilty, tell me a bit more about the trial itself. How it was conducted.
I can't give you any information on how it was conducted as regards to the precise details. I can't help you there.
You can't remember them?
No.
Okay.
No.
What was this man's punishment?
Number one field punishment. And he was attached or tied to a limber wheel, either a field kitchen wheel, I suppose it would be, or some other vehicle which had a wheel attached to it, and he was tied to it. So many hours or time of the day, I don't quite know how long, but he was tied to the wheel.
How was he tied?
He was tied by the provost sergeant of the battalion. As regards how he was tied, I couldn't tell you that. Probably tied by his feet or arms, but I know he was tied to the wheel.
Did you see him?
I did, yes.
What sort of position was he in?
He was an upright position.
That
not spread eagle, no.
His arms were tied to his side?
It looked to be, yes, tied to his side. Yeah.
Yes. Going back to discipline of a more general kind, was there much spit and polish?
Yes, only out at rest.
What form would the spit and polish take?
The form of spit and polish was exercised by having an inspection by a platoon officer as regards the cleanliness of your equipment, including your rifle and your boots. So that involved your particular equipment as regards the webbing or your leather.
What would you have to do to them?
Well, if you had webbing, it was easier to get in a reasonable condition than the leather. I mean, if you had webbing, you could kind of wash it with water and soap. But leather is quite a bit difficult. But usually it was dubbing up and you couldn't get any polish on it. But you're still expected to show a reasonable amount of spit and polish on the inspection days.
Still on the question of discipline,
yeah.
What were the most common forms of offences and punishments while you were?
My common forms of offences were fellows who weren't, what should we say, they would not do their duty as regards taking up rations, I've had that happen, or soldiering in forward positions. I've had chaps where they became obstreperous and refused to go into the front line.
How were they dealt with?
I don't know how they were dealt with. I know from experience, from stories given to me by other people, that the officers have been very considerate in my particular time and let them do jobs behind the line as regards battalion headquarters.
In your experience, how common were cases of shell shock?
Not common in my particular time. I only experienced two experiences where we were on a wiring party and I was detailed to take some barbed wire up to a forward position. I had two men with me. One man refused to go any further, and the other one was, he was okay, you see. Well, in my consideration of this man's particular condition, I let him remain where he was, and I took the bar wire up to the forward position and asked him to swear to me that he'd be there in the same position when I came back, and he was. And well, I forgot about him.
Now, you served a lot with American units,
yes,
while you were on the Western Front. Mm-hmm. How would you compare the American standards of discipline with the British standards of discipline?
American standards of discipline, on the face of it, are very pronounced as regards the difference in discipline as we knew it. There seemed to be a kind of no recognition of a superior officer as we knew it. I mean, I've heard an officer addressed by his Christian name, and a non-commissioned officer addressed by his Christian name by other ranks in the American Army. But I understand that the recognition of the superior rank was just as what should we say, just as acute and recognisable as ours was, but on a different plane, as it were.
I'm not quite sure what you're saying. Well, are you saying that American discipline was rather more casual than British?
It was casual, but it was just recognised, just as sincere as ours were. Ours was, rather.
But there was a difference in style.
Different in style, that's it. Yeah, different in style.
How would you describe the difference?
My experience of the in the front line, the American soldier would obey orders, but not in the manner as we would. I mean, he wouldn't be ready to salute or say yes sir or no sir or anything like that.
I see. He'd do his job, but there wouldn't be so much of the ceremony.
Quite, that's it. Yeah. Yes, that's the definition. Yeah.
Do you think the American system of discipline or style of discipline had anything to recommend it?
No, I think our form of discipline was better in a general way.
Why was that?
Well, I felt that that if you were instructed to do a job, you knew that it was going to be carried out. But the American method, it would seem there'd all be a suspicion that it would not be carried out as ordered. That's the impression I had. Mm.